Welcome to Autismal Dads, Life with Autism from a Parent's Perspective. With each episode, Rob and I talk with media professionals, business owners, and nonprofits to discuss what they are doing to help families get the services they need and how the public perceives autism. We also talk with other autism parents and autistic individuals about their life and autism. In this episode of Autismal Dads, I chat with co-founder and CEO of AngelSense, Doran Summer. While there are GPS and other tracking services and devices available in the marketplace, AngelSense prides itself at being the only GPS tracking and voice monitoring solution specifically designed for children with special needs. His background in computer science and in analytics and sensor processing provided a unique knowledge base, which allowed Doran to develop the technology that is now AngelSense. His passion began when he discovered his own autistic son, Itamar, was mistreated for several years. Working with his friend Neri, a successful high-tech executive and social entrepreneur, they launched AngelSense in 2013. As it is with most autism dads I chat with, there is a kindred spirit among us. We know what parenting an autistic child is like, and we want to find and develop ways to find out more about them and to protect them. Doran is no different. I found his experience as an autism dad similar to my own. Even though he lives in Israel and we're in the United States, we discovered that no matter where you are, raising a child on the spectrum has very similar challenges. What is fascinating to me is how each of us address these challenges that help not only our children, but also helps many others in the process. And now, let's listen in.
Thank you, Doran, for meeting us today.
Hi, Joel. Thank you for having me.
And so today we are going to chat about, you know, us being dads a little bit about, you know, there's a lot of information online about your company, AngelSense, and how you came about that. But today I want to focus a little bit more about just being a parent of an autistic child.
And sure.
Your son is, wow, he's in his 20s now. You're about 7 years ahead of me on that note. So when you first received the diagnosis, what was, you know, going back to, you know, how many ever years ago, how did that happen? You're in Israel and you have a completely different, you know, healthcare system over there and how you guys manage, you know, the health and well-being of a child and you know, compared to here in the States. What happened over there and how did that impact your life and your family?
So funny enough, we actually lived in Silicon Valley during the time that Itamar was diagnosed. And initially, he actually had a lot of ear infections. And the first thought that we had of why he's not answering us, of, you know, what's going on, was that maybe it's related to that. And my mother kept saying that something looks different here. And it was very hard for us, especially for my wife, to you know, recognize that. And it's one of the visits to Israel. We went to a specialist that did the diagnosis. And initially, they were claiming it can be light. You know, maybe he'll get married and everything will be fine. But it didn't end up really being like that. I mean, he's 21 now, and he's really like a three-year-old, you know, the most vulnerable and loving and wonderful child you can imagine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So as you're raising him, you're running into all these challenges. Did he have a sense, of course, you're dealing with AngelSense, and, you know, a lot of what you guys deal with is elopement and also other issues, like you're trying to address issues of bullying, trying to be that second pair of eyes and ears. What prompted you to really dive into creating a company out of this with the technology, you know, with your son?
So, you know, my background for 30 years already is deeply into technology around GPS and voice and sensor processing and how to do sophisticated analysis of that kind of data. And And raising a child like Itamar, my son, was not easy, as you know. And he's so vulnerable, and he's like a 3-year-old, like I told you, and he's a child now, and he'll be a child forever, right? Even when we grow old and when we die. So the worry for him was really very difficult for us, and we experienced a lot, you know, from just, you know, not treating him the right way, or not caring for him the right way by different caregivers, and all the way to more significant issues that are really at the level of abuse, and wandering has also been a big issue for us. I mean, he couldn't share, you know, where he lives, or, you know, and so whenever he gets out of sight, it's a big issue. So for me, it was really inconceivable. You know, when you look at parents to typical children, they send their kid to school, they have a phone. If they are late, they can call them, you know, how are you doing, honey? You know, is everything okay? And we send off the most vulnerable child in the world, and we have no idea what's going on with them. It's just crazy. It's not something, it's not a reality I could accept. And it was very clear for me that with technology, with wearable sensors and, you know, smartphones and analyzing data, you can really solve that, and you can really provide a parent like you and me visibility and the ability to monitor remotely and keep our kids safe and stay connected with them. It's just a reality that really I couldn't accept. And that was the reason for AngelSense.
Okay. Yeah, one of the things that I read somewhere, I think it was on a Huffington Post article or another article, that you were dealing with some caregiver issues with your son.
Well, one of the more difficult cases we had, the issues we had with mistreatment of Itamar were that we had two major challenges. One of them was on the school bus. That was one major source of issues, because it's not professional caregivers, you know, like your, you know, speech therapy or occupational therapy. It's, you know, it's a driver and a matron, and they're not really equipped and educated how to deal with the child with autism. And the others were the caregivers in the afternoon. So, you know, I work in high tech, I work hard, and we had to have help in the afternoon. And there, we had at least one case that was really more difficult. And it's very hard to tell, you know, because our kids, it's so, changes are always hard for them. So when Itamar, even when he comes back home from school, he wants to stay at school. And when he goes from our place to the nanny, he wants to go there. So it's always very, very confusing, right? To understand what's exactly going on. So it took us a long time to understand that she was really not treating him as he should be.
Right, right. Yeah, we discovered and witnessed through a lot of people sharing it on our site, parents having to deal with school systems, where teachers and teacher assistants, or just schools in general, have mistreated their kids. Mm-hmm. And we have also heard and read where other people, and I've had people talk to me personally, that caregivers have mistreated their children that are on the spectrum. Especially this primarily from what you and I are discussing, it's really on the nonverbal towards the end of the spectrum.
Right.
You know, for those who are able to speak and able to talk a lot more clearly, the social skills are different, but there's still that challenge in able to communicate what's right and wrong.
Right.
And what happened. And so having that ability to have that extra listening in, and that aspect of it is actually very encouraging. I think that is definitely a type of technology that is needed for, you know, for our kids and for us as parents. And I think this passion of yours to be able to have that technology that protects your kid is a big thing.
And by the way, one comment, I think it's not only for nonverbal, like my kid is verbal, but he's mm-hmm. so delayed that it's very hard for him to interpret. So when one day he was slapped by a kid that's at school on his face, and the teacher told us, and when I asked him at the end of the day, you know, how did your day go? He would say, great, daddy. And how is this particular kid that I knew is the one that was hitting him? How is he? He said, sweet daddy. So, you know, even when they're verbal, but they're not advanced enough, it's a big issue.
Yeah, the ability to be able to communicate effectively is very limited.
Right.
The one of the things that I've found interesting or just fascinating about your story is that you've traveled with your son, like to Greece and to other places, and you have a very similar challenge that we do in my own family with our son. the ability to be able to just go with your kid anywhere.
Right.
And right now, of course, going into large crowds and going into where there's a lot of noise and sensory issues isn't really the best option. I get asked repeatedly, Joel, can you be able to go to this concert or event, or and you know, to raise money or to raise support for a local, you know, nonprofit? I would love to. And then they say, can you bring your kid? And then I have to politely decline.
Yeah,
just the routine itself is a challenge. That change. And I saw that written, and to our listeners, I usually post a series of links and stuff that people can go to read more about you and more about these types of stories. Mm-hmm. 'Cause that way it condenses our time and allows us to focus on specific things.
Right.
But I understand that challenge, but you were able to take these trips. And is that because of this technology that you were able to have a little bit more freedom in this area, or is it because of, you know, rephrase that. Is it because of the technology, or is it because you've worked with your son and your family to create that environment that allows for those trips to happen, or is it a combination of both?
So for many years we had no vacations. I mean, you know, the life of autism families are just crazy, right? I mean, people can't even imagine. So yeah, we for many years we had no vacations, nothing. And then in the last few years, we did start to have vacations. Angel Sense was part of it. It really, really helped us, because when you're in a place that you're less oriented and is new, being able to track him quickly and always know where he is was really crucial. Otherwise, it's a total nightmare. And also, we grew up a little bit, became a little bit easier. You know, at some point, we were lucky enough to find the right medication for him. That took a lot of trial and error, so that was also helpful. So he calmed down a little bit, you know, mm-hmm. and so that also helped.
Okay. Yeah, it's become a little bit easier as our son's gotten older as well. And I think that can provide hope to some of our listeners listening in that receive the diagnosis and they're not sure that there is hope, that once you find your ground, you can be able to move forward in certain areas and have a lot more, you know, understanding of how to work with your kid to
right.
make it possible.
Right.
And they're not alone. We've been there, done that. In fact, if we have some links, I could be able to throw them up. We have t-shirts for that. I digress. The challenge I think that you have is that I see personally your ads everywhere online, mm-hmm. you know, for Angel Sense. And I see, you're working with, fellow autism dads, the autism daddy, Frank, who's worked with Sesame Street and you've worked with Mama Fry, you know, getting the word out about your passion here to help save lives, to help not just finding, you know, somebody who's eloped, but also saying, okay, how can we be able to get these kids to communicate with us, even if they're not able to communicate effectively, so we can understand what's going on with them. And I think that is very unique in what you're bringing to the table here for the autism community. And I appreciate that, because a lot of times I wonder what's happening, and my wife and I are wondering what's happening to our son when, you know, we put him on the bus, send him off to school. What type of message, because I know some school systems have issues with listening devices on their, you know, GPS and listening devices, as part of, you know, the program here. What some schools would cite, you know, you're violating the privacy of other children, you know, that are in the class. What, how, not just how you are addressing it, because your whole, your website addresses that, you know, effectively, but what message can you be able to send to educators to say, hey, it would be good just to leave this thing, this device on?
You're listening to Autismal Dads, Life with Autism from a Parent's Perspective. Autismal is a social blogging community that provides a platform where anyone can join, connect, share, and discuss anything autism-related. Autismal also provides digital marketing services for small and mid-sized nonprofits. For more information, visit autismal.com. Now, back to the podcast.
So I think that in our experience, most schools welcome the device. I mean, and teachers are really one of the type of roles that really help spread the word and really help us. And we see a minority of the cases where they object to it. And we actually, we address it completely. If a school objects to it, we created a whole system that automatically disables the listening in the morning and enables it back in the evening, and the teachers get a notification. So for those minority that that have an issue with that, we address it. But I think that schools really need to understand that the ability to stay connected with your kid when you have a kid like that is so critical. And actually, what we did now goes far beyond the listening option. It became a complete phone for special needs. So you can actually call the kid and it will ring and turn on the speaker automatically and, you know, pick up automatically, and you can speak with them. So for me now, you know, my kid is 21. It was just recently that we had this. It was the first time I spoke with him on the phone. So the whole ability to be able to know what's going on with your child and stay connected with them is so crucial. And it doesn't end with school. The school bus is such a major area for concern for parents. So I think that, you know, most schools are completely fine with that. And I hope that this will be the case for all of them.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think being able to work closer with the school system and be in partnership with them is better for, you know, all kids with special needs.
Yeah, we actually have so many cases of parents that collaborate with school on that. For example, we have a case I just heard a couple of days ago where the mom actually asks the teacher asks the mom to use Angel Call, that calling feature where you can call and speak with the child, to use it to calm down the child in different cases. And school itself, of course, needs that for safety, right? I mean, there's so many cases. Just now, it was a couple of weeks ago in Rochester in New York, where a kid was dropped off the bus. The bus got to school and he went the other way and got to the river, and the ending was very tragic. And if the kid had a device like that on him, it's just completely avoidable. And school needs that, just like the parents, because when the kid is at school, the school is the caregiver. They own his safety.
Right. Now we're going to track back here for a second. Now you and I, being special needs parents, we're constantly asked several questions, and, you know, from people that just don't understand. Like my wife constantly says, people don't understand because they don't live it.
Right.
And
it's impossible to understand.
Yeah. People just don't understand because they don't live it like we do. You know, you have autistic individuals who are fantastic. They're able to overcome, you know, whatever challenges they have, and they grow like any other, you know, very smart, very, very intellectual, very, very well-rounded individuals that have become contributing members to society. And I don't want to diminish in any way those individuals that are on the spectrum that are autistic. Our challenges as parents is just different, is that our goal is to really provide the environment that our kids can thrive. And I read on Huffington Post this article to where there's these five things you really shouldn't say to you as a special needs parent. And I think that's a fantastic article. In fact, I'm going to list all of your Huffington Post articles on the blog post associated with this broadcast. Having a special needs child must be so difficult.
Oh, I hate that one. Wow.
Oh my goodness. As I, let me,
with an eyes full of pity and
yeah, it's like yeah, sure. We all get a case of nice case of PTSD. As another one that I completely agree with. I'm grateful that my child doesn't have this.
Oh wow, yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely one that I'm that I have to cringe at. Because, you know, that's in my mind, that's actually devaluing their child, because right. Their child has their own challenges.
Right.
And I think we have to recognize that every kid is different, regardless if they're on the spectrum or not.
And that we love them. These are our children.
That's right. Let's see. You need to start thinking of getting him out of the house. He's growing. You can't keep him at home forever. I got to be honest. When I read that, I remember a couple people saying that to me, but I remember several moms, just regular moms, say, I want to keep my son home forever. He's my son.
I'm telling my wife, because our kid, we have an older kid who was 25-year-old, who of course left the house the moment he could, you know, he's studying computer science and everything's fine. And I told my wife, we're so lucky that we can keep Itamar at home. He can't decide that he's just leaving.
Yeah. We love our kids. We want them to be around. We just love it. There's days where it's like, no, can you go out with your friends, please? The challenge is just being a parent. Here's another one. I am so sorry. And I would like to add something to that. That phrase that you put on there. There's, oh, I'm so sorry. Or another one that I think is very similar is, I don't know how you do it.
Yeah.
now my co-host Rob Gorski, he runs a site called The Autism Dad. And he has three kids on the spectrum. And his wife Lizzie has her own issues as well. And right now he is running around like crazy helping out his oldest, you know, with his issues. And he's not feeling well. He's actually a little bit sick today. And I say, Rob, I don't know how you do it. And he reminds me constantly that, you know, it's all subjective. You know, what's your normal is, you know, not my normal.
Right.
And I think the I'm so sorry is you put it here is that I understand their sympathy. However, I'm not sorry that I am his father.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, the last one, I think every autism parent can identify with. I would never guess there is something wrong with him. He looks just fine to me. And I think that is the biggest challenge that we as autism parents have to deal with, is that autism is an invisible thing. That my son is taller than my wife. My wife's 5'4", and my son's just a few inches taller than her. But I mean, I'm 6'4", but I feel like I'm
6'4" too. This is funny.
but you look, yeah. I'm thinking 6'1" because, quite honestly, I'm slouched over all the time trying to take care of so many things at once. But I look at everything that you're doing, and I identify it so well with what I'm trying to do. Because really what we're trying to do is to spread awareness, understanding, and also trying to provide tools for autistic individuals to be able to communicate with us in some way.
Right.
And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that. And you are not alone in this journey. It's like we're kindred spirits. So I look a lot at, you know, doing all this research and all this type of stuff when I do these podcasts, and I'm looking a lot at what you're doing with Angel Sense and with your friend that you helped co-found this company with.
Mm-hmm. Neri.
Yes, with Neri. And you're trying to get the word out about this passion of yours, and you have a lot of special needs parents working for you.
Yeah.
How does that, do they all work in Israel, or do they work around the world? How do they work with you?
So this is something very interesting that actually Neri was the one who pushed a lot. It's a big decision we took early on, not to just, you know, do your typical call centers, but actually to hire only moms to children with special needs to our customer care. And that was for two reasons. One, when you have a child with special needs, typically the mom actually stops working. And we really wanted to help the moms get back to the workforce. That was one major reason. And the second is that we wanted to be able to give the sensitive and caring service that the users need, because like we talked earlier, only we understand. It's just impossible to understand when you're not a special needs parent. So the moms are all basically our users. We pick the expert users and offer them to work for Angel Sense. They work from their home. We created a significant infrastructure to allow that. So they are all over the US. They're all in the US, you know, Texas, California, New York, everywhere. And we created this option for them to work like that. It was very difficult, by the way, to get it to work. Initially, it was very, very challenging because, you know, there's the meltdowns and the therapies, and we had to create a whole system for shifts. And now it's working really, really well. And it's just amazing. I mean, the level of engagement between, you know, a mom that comes to the service, a user, and our moms are just at a level that you can't imagine. You know, it's things like, you know, my kid is 15 years old and he's not potty trained. How do I get him to wear it? So our mom would tell him, you know, use the belt, do this. You know, it's really unbelievable.
Yeah, I find it fascinating that you're creating this virtual global company to be able to facilitate this need.
Yeah, the world is just amazing today. I mean, it really, you can do amazing things.
How many of these people work from home, if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah, we have about 20 moms now working from home, and we grow very quickly. We expect to have hundreds of moms working for us. It's a really big thing for us.
Cool. Now, one of the things I always ask a crazy question, and I can only be so crazy because this is such a serious topic. And like a previous episode, I asked Ben Lewin, who directed the movie Please Stand By with Dakota Fanning. I asked him, you know, there was a scene in there where they spoke Klingon. And I asked him if he directed that scene in Klingon. And I was surprised by his response. But this is a much more serious challenge. And I don't want to be too goofy or too crazy in this question. Okay. So and then after this, I have a basic community question to where I put something out there and I ask the community to get back in touch with me on what question they would want to ask you. Mm-hmm. Now, my question, that's just a little bit off from center, is what do you do in your free time?
What free time? You know, My wife actually works very hard as well. She's an independent consultant, and my weekends are typically with Itamar. And what we do in our free time is test new features of AngelSense. That's what we do when we have a new capability of how to find a child indoors. I go with him to malls. It's like crazy malls that are completely shut down in the weekend. People think I'm crazy going into there. And then we go in and I tell him to run away and I try to find him. So that's my biggest hobby.
So your free time is working on AngelSense.
Exactly.
Oh my goodness.
You had a crazy question, so it's a crazy answer.
That is. Oh my goodness. It's kind of like people ask me, Joel, will you ever stop talking about Autisable? And I'm like, no, I get it. It's in my blood. I get it. Oh my, more of a kindred spirit here. So the community question that I get, and it wasn't really overwhelming. There was a lot of different questions that were coming at me, and a lot of them was like, okay, I could find that on an article that you're in, or I could find that on your website. Mm-hmm. Some of them were technical questions, and I'm like, I'm not going to ask you a technical question because you have a whole company for that. You know, you have a whole help section, you have a fax section and FAQs and all that type of stuff that can answer that. But one question kept popping up, and it's dealing with law enforcement. We have Kevin and Navanti's law that just passed here in the States, which deals with training and helping to provide equipment. And first responders coming up on somebody with a mental disability, a lot of times they don't know what to do or how to visually address that. Is this something that you want to get into with nonprofits more, to work with nonprofits that facilitate this type of training?
We do a lot of work with nonprofits, actually, especially in a slightly different domain, which is helping families that cannot pay for the device, that are low income. That's a lot of focus we have on that. There's heartbreaking stories of families that their life are so difficult and they can't afford service. So we do a lot of work on creating programs like that and helping families with that. We didn't do much about training law enforcement. We didn't go into that much.
Okay. Because we're networked with several nonprofits here in the States that cater to training. In actuality, their focus is training first responders, police and fire departments. And there's one nonprofit that specifically caters to that I'll be interviewing next week for a recording, and we'll release that episode down the road. But they cater to training local law enforcement worldwide.
Okay.
And then they also provide, it's more radio frequency finding than GPS.
Yeah.
And we've networked with those folks as well. So, but there are those questions.
The reason, by the way, that we don't have much interaction with law enforcement is because the solution we provide is for the parents. The parents, unlike the kind of, radio frequency where you have to get the police involved to find the person much after you found out they were missing, which is a big deal because there's a 30-minute critical time window to find them.
Right.
So because the parents have this tool where they can right away know when they left, when the child, eloped, most stories end up like very funny stories that they found the kid eating ice cream in the neighbor's house, so it doesn't get to law enforcement. It ends up much earlier.
No, that's very interesting. You know, everybody has a different, I've heard several different takes on that. And that was, that I've heard similar. I've also heard the worst case scenario, as you have. But I think with Kevin and Avanti's law, I think being able to provide equipment like this and being able to get first responders trained is incredibly important.
And by the way, we did something that will really help first responders get into this. And today, the parent can actually, at the click of a button, get all first responders a real time link to where the child is. That's just unbelievable. When you have, you know, search and rescue teams and law enforcement, at the click of a button, they join, like, you know, ad hoc search and rescue team and right. help find the child.
Oh, that's good. That's good. So, thank you very much. There is a lot more I know that we could be able to dive into, you know, especially with Angel Sense and also love to learn more about your son. I think we could probably, you know, make a plan for maybe a revisit, you know, sure. down the road on another podcast, you know, see what we could be able to do there. You're doing some great work with Angel Sense. And I really appreciate you taking the time with us. And until next time, let's set a time for another time to chat.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed speaking with you.
I appreciate our guest, Doran Sommer, for addressing several questions. And it's always a joy to talk with another autism parent about their experiences raising autistic children. If you would like to continue this discussion or any other about autism, please feel free to join Autizable.com and share them. You can also follow us via social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. As a reminder, this podcast is available on Spotify, Google Play Music, iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn. Don't forget to rate, comment, and subscribe. Until next time, I'm your host, Joel Manzer, and thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Autizable Dads, Life with Autism from a Parent's Perspective.